In the sweltering summer of 1963, France's political landscape trembles in the aftermath of a failed assassination attempt on President Charles de Gaulle. The Secret Army Organization, OAS, a group of disgruntled military officers opposed to Algerian independence, has tried and failed repeatedly to kill the French president. After their leader, Claude Bastien Thiry, faces the firing squad, the remaining OAS leadership makes a fateful decision. They hire a mysterious English assassin known only by his code name, the Jackal. This isn't just another hired gun. The Jackal demands $500,000, an astronomical sum in 1963, for a once-in-a-lifetime job. He explains with chilling clarity that he needs enough money to disappear completely after killing the most heavily guarded man in Europe. When questioned about his integrity, he responds with perfect logic. Absconding with the deposit would cost him more in protection from vengeful ex-paratroopers than he would gain. His polled rationality is more terrifying than any display of violence could be. The Jackal's preparation exemplifies methodical planning. He studies de Gaulle for weeks through French newspapers, approaching assassination as a technical problem requiring precision, unlike the emotional OAS operatives who failed before him. He commissions a custom rifle from a Belgian gunsmith, a masterpiece with slim working parts, no protruding bolt handle, detachable trigger, and complete disassemblability. The weapon fires mercury-filled explosive bullets accurately at 130 meters, a work of art only this craftsman could perfect. For false identification, the Jackal employs a master forger who creates multiple identity sets. Through clever photography, he transforms himself into different personas, a gray-haired man, a Danish pastor, an American student, each meticulously crafted. While most struggle with basic ID checks, the Jackal seamlessly switches between entirely different identities, complete with matching documents, appearances, and behaviors. His genius lies in thorough preparation and multiple contingency plans. When French authorities discover the plot through a captured courier, they face an impossible challenge, finding a killer whose identity remains completely unknown. Commissaire Maurice Bouvier declares, "The first task is to give this man a name. With a name, we get a face. With a face, a passport. With a passport, an arrest." He assigns his deputy, Claude Labelle, a quiet, methodical man, as France's best detective to track the Jackal. Labelle establishes a network across 7 countries through unofficial channels. The breakthrough comes when British authorities identify Charles Harold Calthrop, who worked for a British arms manufacturer and was in the Dominican Republic during dictator Trujillo's assassination. A detective connects Jackal, French, Chacal, with the first 3 letters of both Charles and Calthrop's names. Already in France as Alexander Duggan, the Jackal learns of the investigation, but calmly continues, knowing they seek Charles Calthrop, not him. His cold calculation reveals a mind unclouded by emotion. The case becomes a chess match between brilliant opponents, Labelle coordinating thousands of officers, while the Jackal stays ahead through meticulous planning and adaptability. The Jackal's journey through France showcases masterful evasion. When police discover his hotel, he's already vanished, having repainted his Alfa Romeo in secluded woods and switched to false French plates. Tragedy strikes at a baroness's chateau when she discovers his mission after overhearing a call and finding his rifle. Her attempt to flee ends in murder. The Jackal methodically transforms into Pastor Per Jensen, dyeing his hair gray, inserting blue contacts, and donning clerical attire. In Paris, he becomes American student Marty Schulberg. When compromised, he enters a gay bar and attracts an older man named Jules Bernard. With flamboyant makeup, he passes police checkpoints where officers, uncomfortable with their appearance, barely examine their papers. The Jackal's ability to shed identities reveals how thin the veneer of personality truly is. Despite a manhunt involving 75,000 security personnel, he stays ahead by understanding human psychology, becoming invisible by appearing exactly as expected. As the manhunt intensifies, Claude LaBelle suspects a security leak. Despite strict protocols, the Jacko consistently stays ahead, showing almost prescient knowledge of police movements. The leak is Jacqueline Dumas, mistress to Colonel St. Clair on the President's Security Council. Her betrayal began in Algeria with her brother's death in 1959. Grieving, she found solace with François, her brother's commander, who convinced her that de Gaulle had betrayed France. After François died in the 1961 military mutiny, pregnant Jacqueline attempted suicide, losing her baby, her final connection to normal life. The OAS recognized in her the perfect recruit, educated, presentable, and driven by conviction. They groomed her before assigning her to seduce Colonel St. Clair. This security breach represents more than a tactical setback. It reveals how personal tragedy can transform into political extremism, a pattern intelligence services exploit to create unshakable loyalty. By August 24th, the exhausted minister admits they can't find the Jackal despite unprecedented efforts. LaBelle insists the killer remains in Paris, preparing to strike. On scorching Liberation Day, a CRS officer unwittingly allows through an old war veteran with one leg, actually the disguised Jackal. The assassin knocks out a concierge and breaks into an empty sixth-floor apartment, assembling his rifle from components hidden in his aluminum crutch. Learning about the old cripple from officers at the ceremony, LaBelle races to the building as de Gaulle emerges during the Marseillaise. Finding the tied-up concierge, LaBelle and a CRS officer rush upstairs, hearing a soft "phut" from behind a door. The Jackal, no longer disguised, fires from the hip, killing the young officer instantly. As the assassin recognizes LaBelle and attempts to reload, LaBelle grabs the fallen officer's carbine and fires, riddling the Jackal with bullets while the band plays below. After the Jackal's death comes the final twist. British police search Charles Calthrop's flat only to find Calthrop himself alive with an ironclad alibi. He'd been fishing in Scotland for weeks, proving he couldn't have been the assassin. If the Jackal wasn't Calthrop, then who the hell was he? The question reverberates through London and Paris. The British government refuses to officially admit the Jackal was English, creating diplomatic tension. The assassin is buried in an unmarked grave, his death certificate simply listing him as an unnamed foreign tourist killed in a hit-and-run. One final layer of obscurity for a man who made invisibility his trademark. This twist delivers the most chilling realization. After following this meticulous killer for hundreds of pages, we never learn his true identity. He remains what he always was, a shadow. In our surveillance-filled world, the Day of the Jackal reminds us how fragile these systems become when confronted with someone who truly understands their weaknesses.